Nobody likes being patted down, but how would you like to spend an 8-hour shift patting hundreds or thousands of cranky people down, some with dirty, smelly clothes, or looking for contraband and luggage filled with Lord knows what? That's the life of Transportation Security Administration employees. Lately, they've had an additional task, getting their second contract with the agency agreed to and ratified. Joining me with an update, J. David Cox, National President of the American Federation of Government Employees. And J. David, it seems like we were just yesterday talking about the first contract at TSA, and now here we are trying to get the second one done.
You're correct, Tom. And we started our negotiations on the second contract back August 25th of 2015 and concluded the negotiations December 9th of 2015. And I wish that I could tell you that we were totally there and completely done, but at this point, we have not been able to get the entire contract finished.
What parts are finished? What were you able to agree with the agency on?
We were able to agree with about 50% of the contract, but we still have many outstanding issues, and AFG has moved to have those heard by a panel of three arbitrators. We did that December 21st, but December 31st, TSA contacted AFGE and said they would like to reconvene the week of January 19th in an attempt to resolve some of the outstanding issues. And many of those issues are general issues that every other federal employee has, that the routine things that we see in every federal contract, but not in the TSA contract.
And what are some of those?
Some of those would be dealing with uniforms, with ship bid processes, with a performance management process, annual leave bidding, things of that nature, selections for special assignments. Still on the table is a grievance and dispute resolution process, which is basic in every contract. That's the good part about labor and management having some organized process to resolve disputes and grievances. There's nothing wrong with having some type of dispute resolution, but that is still an outstanding issue.
I wanted to ask you about the shift and shift bidding issue, because I remember the first time around, the agency did not want people to be able to really have foreknowledge of what their shift would be, thinking that could be a security risk. They could collaborate with bad guys or something. How did that get resolved the first time around, and what is still the issue now?
The last time around, it finally went to an arbitrator who decided the ship bidding process. But let's be real. I mean, people need to know when they are going to go to work. We plan our lives for child care, for elder care, for other things in our life. And to, like, you're finishing your shift at 3 p.m. today, and somebody says, well, tomorrow you'd be back at 3 a.m., and then the next day you're finishing your shift at 11 a.m., and they say, don't come in till 5 p.m. I mean, there has to be some process where people have regularly scheduled shifts, and while people may deem that a security risk, let's be real, airline pilots have regular shifts, flight attendants have regular shifts, air marshals have regular shifts, the supervisors in TSA have regular shifts. Why can't the rank-and-file employees be treated the same way?
And so that is still unresolved this time around, and that's one of the things
we are still struggling with some of those type processes, yes.
And what about the uniforms? I recall that there was an issue with scratchy uniforms and who would pay for uniforms. What is the current status, and what is it you're seeking the next time around?
This time we are seeking for the ability of, in certain weather conditions, and it seems kind of funny to talk about it now with the weather being cold, but yes, it will be warm. There are times that the employees are working in areas that shorts would be an appropriate uniform, as well as different type of jackets. There are times of the year they need heavier jackets than they do at other times of the year, and various combinations of uniforms. I travel in airports all the time. The TSA workforce whether they're in shorts or whether they're in almost snow outfits, they always look professional. They are professional folks, but it's just simply trying to have uniforms that will accommodate the working conditions, the weather conditions. Many times those that we don't see in the baggage areas, those are not well heated or air-conditioned places. So having appropriate uniforms for those folks.
So you're looking for the agency then to dig a little deeper to provide these different kinds of uniforms for different working conditions.
Yes, sir. And this is the same process that goes on in other Homeland Security agents. There's various uniforms that people have and other Homeland Security components. And it's just trying to treat these people like other federal employees.
We're speaking with J. David Cox, National President of the American Federation of Government Employees. And the grievance and dispute resolution seems like a pretty big issue. How is that handled now? And what is the model you're seeking in this new contract?
We are trying to get a process in this contract where it's a mutually agreed to dispute resolution process. TSA wants to have a process where the fox guards the hen house, where they are God, judge, and jury, where they make every decision. And even if they make a decision that they don't like, they get to come back and say, we no longer like the decision. Now we want to make another decision. I mean, let's be real. Supervisors in TSA have MSPB rights. All of the management employees in TSA have MSPB rights, but yet rank and file employees do not have Merit System Protection Board rights. Air marshals have MSPB rights. Virtually every government employee has MSPB rights, but these TSA folks, and that's just an unfair system, a total unfair system. If it's about national security, why would we allow the supervisors and management in TSA to have MSPB rights?
And what about, say, border control officers? Or
Border patrol officers, ICE agents, customs agents, all of those people have MSPB rights. Every one of those virtually every law enforcement person in this country has MSPB rights, but again, the transportation security officers do not have those rights.
Where do things stand now? When did the prior contract, or when does it expire?
Because we were able to reach at least 50% of an agreement, that contract will continue to remain in place. We have to go through a ratification process on the other articles that we have agreed to, and then following that, we are, as I told you, we are moving forward with a panel of three arbitrators on the outstanding issues, and those will probably take about a year or so to get to the arbitrators, get the cases heard, and get that decision made.
So ratification of the existing parts, the 50% part of it, that would be pay, benefits, vacation, that kind of thing?
Not pay, because we do not get to negotiate pay in the federal government.
Right.
It would be over, the things that we have agreed to in the contract, and I don't have all of it directly in front of me, but, I mean, some of the typical things in contracts is, again, about how you call in if you're not going to be able to work, requesting sick leave, requesting annual leave, things of that nature, some time off between shifts, because obviously people just can't work forever, and uniforms and things of that nature.
And the ratification vote is scheduled for when?
As soon as we meet with the agency again, following what type of an agreement we can possibly work out on these things after the week of January 19th, which is the week that we are currently in, and to finalize that, then we will move forward with the ratification vote.
J. David Cox is National President of the American Federation of Government Employees. Thanks so much for joining me with that update.
Thank you so much, Tom, and thank all the transportation security officers for all of us that travel safely every day. They do pat down, they do those type things, but they keep America safe.
And share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click share with friends.